Well, I'm glad that the Lord won't let me quit. And you may quit, but He's going to do everything He can to keep you going. And I'm glad I got something on the inside that's working on the outside. And I'm glad I can't quit today. Old Jeremiah thought that song's based out of that account of Jeremiah the prophet's life. And he tried to quit. He wanted to quit. He thought it was worth quitting, but God just wouldn't let him. And he throwed in the towel, said, "Lord, that's it. I'm not doing any more in your name." But he said that old fire got to burning on the inside. And he could not stay there in that place of quitting. Amen. Jeremiah knew what it was to get discouraged, just like you know what it is to get discouraged. He knew what it was like to be done wrong by people, just like you and I know what it's like to be done wrong by people. But Jeremiah knew what it was like to have God visit him in an old pit and say, "Jeremiah, everything you face in my name, it's absolutely worth it all. You can't quit." And I'm glad today I can report that it is all worth it. Romans chapter number 8, stand with me if you will. Out of reverence to reading of God's Word, I want to read just a verse or two here, and I'll make a comment, and then we'll be preaching from 1 Peter chapter number 4. We've been preaching the last two Sundays on the subject, victory in Jesus. We've been using Romans chapter number 8, the last part, the last several verses of Romans chapter number 8, to deal with that subject. The Bible said in verse number 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And Paul quotes from the Old Testament. He said, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Listen, Paul is saying and using that Old Testament verse that our lives as believers, they are accounted to hardship. We're going to face certain times of difficulty in our life. And every day that we live as the children of God, it's going to be marked by trouble, by persecution, by famine. And he goes through that list of things that we're going to face in being children of God. Notice with me, Paul has said in verse 31, "What shall we say then to these things?" The things we face, the things that hurt us, the things that are hard for you and I to go through. What are we going to say about these things? But our verse is verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And Paul is saying, you can't put your head in the sand. You can't sit around and mumble and grumble and complain about how bad everything is in your life. He's reminding them there's a greater way to live and sitting around talking about the bad doctor's report you got and about the bad situation your family's in and about the bad hardship that you're going through. He's saying, listen, the fact that you're saved in all these things, you have been made, you've been saved, that you may be more than a conqueror. Amen. And that conquering and that victory that Paul is alluding to, he said it's through Him and loved us. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been trying to emphasize the fact and the thought that our victory as God's children and the state of victory, the spirit of victory that you and I have, it's not in our power, it's not in our personality, it's not in the programs, it's not in the partnerships, it's not in the prestige that we have today, but it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have victory in all these things. And Paul identifies a list of extremes in verse 38 and verse number 38, as he said, "I have become persuaded of this victory that I have in the Lord. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life," those are two extremes, "he said that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers," those are three different extremes, "he said, nor things present, nor things to come," that is what I'm going through today, "and what I go through tomorrow, nothing I can rob me of the persuasion that I can live a life of victory." He said, "nor height, nor depth," and then any sin nor any other creature, anything else I can face, anything else I can go through, whatever it is, I know that I've been saved to live in victory through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of God. Now, this morning, look with me in 1 Peter in chapter number 4. I want to preach a message to you today on this subject of victory over a specific matter that we oftentimes face. The Bible said in 1 Peter 4, in verse number 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him and well do it, as unto a faithful Creator." You can be seated this morning. Pray with me. And let's trust the Lord to really help us today. Listen, I know there's no way I know all the needs that are here today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the fiery trial that's in your life. I don't know the things today that you suffer. But I know God knows, and I want to ask Him to help us today. Father, I come to you again this morning in the name of Jesus. And by the blood of Jesus today, you said, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, so we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so, Lord, this morning I come to you asking, Father, that you'd help us and give us, Lord, all things that we have need of today. God, Lord, I must admit, Lord, we're tired of living defeated. I'm tired of seeing defeat. Lord, I'm tired, Lord, of seeing the people discouraged and Lord, downtrodden and perplexed and Lord, not just cast down, but on the brink of being destroyed. And so, God, I pray for the next few moments you'd help us, Lord, as we study, Lord, this thought of victory in Jesus. And Lord, may the matters of suffering in our life, Lord, be seen today in light of the Word of God, and help us today, Lord, to live in all the victory and, Lord, all the conquering over all these things that are set against us. And Lord, all that you do, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the context of Peter's writing, we understand according to chapter 1 in the opening verses, he's writing unto the scattered believers that are facing persecution. These believers are living in a time of Christianity and a generation of Christianity in an area where to be a Christian is costing them for their faith. They're being persecuted. They're, my friend, being done wrong. They are suffering because they have put their faith in the Savior, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we take the time today, we can understand some of the things that they've gone through. And when we think about our bad day, we really don't know what a bad day is in light of what this crowd had faced. And yet, today we do know, according to our own experiences, about suffering and about my friend, fiery trials. And so Peter, in these verses we've read, he takes up the subject and he writes again in verse number 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." And listen, he said, think it not strange. He said, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, he's saying, Brother Jordan, he's saying that, I don't want you thinking that what is going going on in your life is something that is unusual. Don't think that it's something that just because you're the beloved and just because you're saved, that good times and good things are going to be the characteristic of your life. He said, don't think it's strange when the fiery trials come against you. Don't think that you're the only one that's suffering. Don't think you're the only one that's been where you are. Don't think that you're there alone. Don't think that it's something that is unusual that has come by your life. And can I say this morning, the Bible said, Job said in a time of great suffering, he made this statement. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Can I remind you today of that saved or lost, you live this life long enough, and my friend, you're going to suffer and you're going to hurt and you're going to have times of life where it seems like that you cannot make it. And according to Job, amen, it can get to the place where, my friend, your days are few, but your problems and troubles are many. This morning, with that thought in mind, understand that in the context of these verses that Peter is writing, he is dealing with, my friend, the sufferings of believers in this present world. He said again, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. These things are going on now. There's things we got to deal with today. There's things we got to suffer through right now in the hour in which you and I live. I've made the statement before that, my friend, of things, if everything's good in your life now, just hang on, because you're either suffering today, you're either coming out of suffering today, or you're getting ready to head into suffering today. Amen. Life is marked with suffering. And Peter goes down through here and he begins to read. And he said in verse number 13, he speaks of being partakers of Christ's sufferings. He said in verse 14, if you be reproached. He said in verse number 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. He said in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, what is he writing about? He's writing about suffering. He ends his chapter in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. And so what is his subject? His subject is that of suffering. If you'll, amen, bear with me for a minute, let me lay some groundwork. I'll get where I want to go, but that word suffering that is used down through there literally means to undergo hardship or pain. Have you ever been there? Has your life ever been marked with, my friend, hardship and pain that was afflicting you, that, my friend, you was suffering, you was doing all you could, my friend, hardship and pain and hurt and tribulation was marked by a circumstance that you faced? We have people sitting here this morning that every week of their life they have physical suffering. They have physical issues that causes them a tremendous amount of physical hardship and pain. We have people here today that, my friend, know something about financial suffering, pain and hardship. Amen. When you can't make two ends meet together. My friend, there are people that are here today that know suffering, my friend, of an emotional aspect. Amen. Emotional suffering where, my friend, they're tormented by discouragement and depression. And, my friend, by matters of the mind and the emotions that men and women and boys and girls face. And suffering, my friend, can be in a matter, in a diverse matter of ways in our life. And so Peter is writing, and Peter says, I want you to know and learn how that you might learn to suffer and to do so as a Christian. And this morning, consider this with me. And in verse number 12 and in verse number 13 again, he said, beloved, think
cannot strange concern it, a fairy trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be amazed when it comes your way. Whatever it is you're going through, it's not unusual. It's not strange. Yet, amen, it's not that, amen, you're trying to be done wrong by God. Notice what he said, and this is always amazement, and it seems like it is an absolute impossibility. The first two words in verse 13 says, but rejoice. Don't think it's strange that the fiery trial has come against you. Don't think that this thing that is causing you to hurt and causing pain in your body and in your mind and in your heart and in your life and in your family and in your church. Don't think at this point of suffering in your life. Amen. Don't think it's strange, but Peter said, I would have you to rejoice over what you're going through. Amen. That is not what we do. What do? We tear up and we cry and we whine and we gripe and we complain and we whine and we complain and we whine and we complain and we talk about, oh, I hurt so bad. And my friend, all we do is focus in on that as if it's some strange thing. It has happened in our life. And Peter said, what you ought to do is rejoice. Amen. Good, quiet crowd we got here today. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. But rejoice. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, dealing with the suffering that they're going through, he said, happy are ye. So we got a man of God telling you in there, you're going to suffer. You might as well get it through your thick Baptist skull. You are going to suffer. You're going to hurt. You're going to know something about pain. And when it comes, don't act like you're surprised that it came. In other words, amen, he's saying, don't think that you're the only one suffering. There's others that suffer. And if you're suffering and I'm suffering and you're suffering and they're suffering, Peter said, what you ought to do is rejoice. That deals with, Brother Jordan, the matter of victory. Act like, amen, you have the victory that the Lord saved you to have, even in suffering. Amen. But preacher, you just don't know. Hey, Peter knows everything they're going through, and you think you've had a bad day. We don't know anything about a bad day in light of what the crowd he's writing to has been through. I've never been thrown in jail. Our family's never been split up just for coming to church. My friend, we've never been run out of town. My friend, this said, there were those that were physically afflicted and persecuted and stoned and whipped and beaten. And Peter is writing and he's telling them, amen, don't focus in on it in a negative light as if you're surprised. But rather, rejoice and live in the victory that comes in the child of God's life in the midst of suffering. I want to preach this morning on, we're using the thought victory in Jesus, but I want to preach to you for a minute at these verses on the thought this morning, victory over suffering. The fact of the matter is, there's not a person in here that you don't know what suffering is like. Not on the level of the people that Peter is writing to, but in our own experiences in America, as we've been spoiled compared to the rest of the world. My friend, we only know what we know and the experiences that we know. And my friend, the suffering that we have is real. Amen. When you go to the doctor and the doctor looks at your aches and your pains and says, there's nothing more I can do for you. You're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. Listen, that is very real in the heart of and life of a child of God. I'm not saying we put our head in the sand. I'm not saying we ignore the things that we're going through. What I'm preaching is what I've been preaching the last several weeks, is that as God's children, we must get to the place where even when we're shedding our tears and we're going through these things, and my friend, we still have a spirit of victory and rest upon our lives. Whining about it ain't going to help. Complaining about it ain't going to help. Pouting about it and laying out of church ain't going to help. Laying down and quit serving God is not going to make it any better. So Peter says, rejoice and be happy in the midst of what you're going through that's suffering. Notice with me, hey man, I just want to kind of work my way through here. I'll get where I want to go in a minute. Y'all, will y'all hang with me now? Hey man, look alive, okay? Hey man, watch this now. We're preaching on victory over suffering. I think there's several things we need to note as we make our way down through here. Number one, consider the sources of our sufferings. Amen. Peter, I believe, is challenging these believers that they would, Brother Dean, consider why it is that they're suffering. Amen. And can I say, when you identify it as to why and the source of your suffering, it'll tell a lot, my friend, about you, and it'll help you in many ways. Amen. To be able to rejoice and to get victory over the suffering that you're going through. Consider with me that Peter, I think, identifies, amen, a source of suffering, that suffering can at times flow from our own sin. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 15. He's writing about suffering. He said, you're going to suffer. And he makes a statement, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying that, hey man, while you're suffering, you need to examine your life and make sure that the suffering you're going through is not the result of something that you've done and has brought suffering into your life. And I just be honest, I think many a days, amen, I've brought a lot of my own suffering into my own life, and a lot of my own hardships and pains have been, amen, because of decisions I've made and choices I've made and paths I've taken. And Peter is saying, listen, you need to examine whether or not a suffering you're going through is of your own making. There are people that are Christians that'll go and marry people that are not very Christian, and they'll sit around and they'll complain about how bad it is to live with their spouse. But my friend, they made the decision. You say, but preacher, you just don't know how bad it is. We're not the one that walked the aisle. Amen. I'm not trying to be down on you this morning, but amen, listen, sometimes it is our own sin, our own choices, our own stubbornness that leads you and I to a place where we begin to suffer. Am I making any sense at all today? I'm not trying to be one of Job's friends. I'm not saying that every ounce of suffering we go through is our own doing. But Peter is saying, while you're suffering, while you're to be living in victory, you must examine it and study it out and come to an understanding that you're not suffering because of something you brought into your own life. Amen. There are people, my friend, it's like they ask for it. Amen. If you smoke cigarettes every day of your life and you get lung cancer, don't come in the church asking the church to pray for you, talking about how bad you suffer. Well, I got two amens right there. Why? Because you brought it on yourself. Hallelujah. I wish I'd take a picture right now. This crowd, they smoke a carton a day, Brother A.L. and Ned. And I'm not saying they're not saved. I believe a lot of them saved. But, amen, every time you open a package, it says on the package this, amen, will cause cancer. Amen. You got no right to complain. You got no right, my friend, amen, to say I'm suffering. You brought it on yourself. Amen. You go out and you drink, get cirrhosis of the liver, and then call some preacher to come by your bedside and talk about how bad you hurt. Hey, there are times you can suffer because of your own sin. Amen. Amen. Preacher, I'm suffering. So I've had friendships fall apart. Amen. Well, if you wouldn't have been gossiping and backbiting and carrying on as a busybody in other people's matters, you'd have probably still had that friendship. Amen. Am I making sense today? I'm not trying to make nobody mad. My friend, a lot of times we bring things on ourselves. Amen. Peter said you better examine it because a source of suffering can flow from our sin. Yes. Number two, it can flow from our faith. We can suffer because of our faith. He writes and he says it at your partakers of Christ's sufferings. And he goes down through here and he says in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ. What is he writing about? He's writing that sometimes we suffer in the hands of heathen because we claim and proclaim the name of Christ. Because we won't back down. Because we are Christians. Because we won't give in to the world. And because, amen, we refuse to back off a stand that we've made on the Word of God. And sometimes our suffering is a source of, my friend, just the faith that we have in the Lord. Can I say the world, quit trying to get the world to get along with you. Jesus said that marvel not when the world hates you. That's what he said to his disciples. They hated me and they're going to hate you. They persecute me and they're going to persecute you. They've done me wrong and they're going to do you wrong. Amen. Listen, the church has never been called to get along with the world. In fact, I think we're not making a ruckus. Amen. And I'm not talking about being a jerk. And I'm not talking about going out and trying to stir up controversy. There's just some things that are right. And when you stand, Peter said, you'll suffer as a Christian and being reproached for the sake of Christ. You say, I don't like where you stand on things. Well, I'm not backing off.
Right.
Amen. And you can do me wrong and you can bring suffering into my life. There are times where we suffer because of our faith. If you stand, what did Paul say to young Timothy? He said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Whether it be at the hands of the heathen in a wicked world or be it at the hands of hell, you can mark it down. Amen. Suffering is going to come your way because of faith. Yes. Number three, the source of suffering, it can flow from our sin, it can flow from our faith, but oftentimes it flows from our God. Look with me in the last verse there in our text verses. Are y'all with me now? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to what? The will of God. You say, what does that mean? That means sometimes God puts you in a place where you suffer. It ain't your sin. It ain't the heathens. It ain't the world. It ain't the devil. It's God that thrust you into a place where you have to have pain and hardship. You say, but God loves me and God won't ever do me wrong. God won't ever do you wrong, but that don't mean God won't let you hurt. That don't mean that God won't let you get into some places where, my friend, it's more than you can handle. Somebody said, well, the Lord promised He wouldn't put more on us than we can bear. Amen. But notice that Paul said, amen, that with every one of those times God makes a way of escape, there is one way to get out of it, and that is to lean on God. Amen. There are times it's bigger than I can handle, and when it gets bigger than I can handle, thank God He's made a way that it can be born, and I can make it through those times of hardship and pain. The greatest illustration of this is the man that we know from the Old Testament, the man Job. Amen. It wasn't the devil picking on Job. It was the Lord that let Job suffer. And I'm not getting on this, and I'm just a preaching now, okay? But we get people in our generation that stand up and say, pray for me, I'm suffering, the devil has really come against me. Well, how do you know it's the devil? Because according to Job, and I'm not saying the devil don't, it could be. But according to that passage, God called the devil over and said, hey, come sit over here. I want to ask you something. Have you considered my servant Job? The devil never brought him up. The devil never, my friend, approached God about Job. It was God that said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, I have, but I just ain't able to get to him. You put up that hedge and you got all these blessings and I can't get at him. The Lord said, well, go touch him. Lifted the hedge, said, you can touch him. You can take everything he's got except for his life. You know the story of how Job in a day lost everything that he had. What did Job say when it come all down? Now, had that been us, man, we'd have been saying, man, life is bad and the devil has done me wrong. And my friend, the devil had sent the wind and the devil had sent the bands of men to rob and to steal up from Job all that he had. But at the end of the day, Job had enough insight and discernment about his life. And he rose up and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He acknowledged that God was in control of his life. And though he hurt, and though he was in hardship, and though the pain of freshly covered graves was still in his heart, Job knew that God had allowed that suffering to come his way. Sometimes God makes you suffer. Preacher, I don't like where I am. I don't like where I am a lot of days. But you better stop and consider God may have thrust you into that place to let you suffer for the glory of God. Number two, let me deal with this. We see not only the source of our sufferings, but consider this with me. I promise y'all I'm going somewhere. I'm just taking a little while. The purpose of our sufferings. The purpose. Why is it that... Listen, we examine ourselves and the source of our suffering. I'm suffering sometimes because of my sin, but not always. Sometimes because of my faith, but not always. Sometimes because of my God. And I think it's here that Peter is writing about that there are times that even because of our faith, we're suffering in the will of God. We're suffering because God has a fiery trial, which is to try you. That's what he said in verse number 12. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Is that what your King James Bible said? Notice with me this morning, according to this verse, the suffering of these believers is referenced as fiery trials. That statement literally means to kindle, to be ignited, or to be refined. Amen. It deals with a pain of burning. Amen. A pain you can't easily get away from. Fiery trials, to kindle, to be ignited, or to be refined. And is a reference to the refiner's fire. The refiner's fire is where impurities are removed from materials that are valuable that they might become more valuable. Amen. Most of you women, some of men this morning, amen, have gold rings. That gold was mined out of the earth. It was mined out of the dirt. And my friend, when it was taken out, it was valuable. And it was dirty and it had impurities within it. And so what do they do? They bring it to the place called the refiner's fire. And there, they cause that silver, that gold, or that precious material to pass through. And in going through the fire, listen, the gold is melted and it feels the heat and the pain and the suffering and the fire, but in doing so, what it is literally doing is burning away all the dross. It's bringing up all the impurities. It's bringing up everything that, though it's valuable as it is, it's bringing up other things that are down in there and is robbing it of the great value that it could be if it had passed through the refiner's fire. And can I say today, the fact that you have breathed God's air and you live in God's earth, my friend, you are valuable today. Thank God, one day I was manned out of the earth. Amen. The Lord met me where I was and saved my soul and brought me out of the world. Amen. And listen to him. I am very, very valuable. And listen, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm glad. Today I ain't where I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I don't live like I used to live. I don't think how I used to think. My friend, I still ain't everything that I need to be and that I ought to be. And so what does God do? God brings suffering into my life, and He may take something that is valuable and make it even more valuable. There are things that God has allowed me and my wife and my family to suffer through. My friend, it hurt. It hurt. We didn't like it. We wouldn't go back through it, amen, for anything today apart from the will of God. And my friend, the pain that is associated with that. But what did God do? God took something that had some value to it. Somebody that had some value to Him and said, I'm going to put you in this tank and refiner's fire of suffering and hardship. And you're going to feel pain. But when you come out on the other side, I'm going to be able to take you and do more with you than I could before the suffering. And can I say today that my friend, that is how that the Lord works in our life to refine us. It would be wonderful, amen, if He could set us on a shelf and show us off, amen, and just be real good to us. And my friend, we clean up that way, but most of us are so stinking hard-headed. God says, I got to get you where I can use you. I got to get more value out of you than what you even have now. And the only way that can be done, and He takes you to the refiner's fire and shoves you into that place of pain and suffering. Man, you'll think, He has left me all alone. He's put me in here all by myself. My friend, can I say, hallelujah. They say on that old refiner's fire in that box where they'd shove that material in, that there was a little bitty hole that manner he could peek in every now and then and make sure everything was all right. And can I say today, you may think He's not around, amen, but peeking through the holes of glory, amen, is a sovereign God who's got His eye on you and what you think is killing you and the suffering and the pain associated with what your circumstance is. My friend, the refiner's fire is going to do nothing but make you more valuable in the work of God. The people that have been used greatest in the Bible and in church and Christian history have been those who have suffered the most. We're talking about the purpose of suffering. Notice what He said. He said, think it not strange, the fiery trials which are to what? Try you. In other words, there is the idea that God is at work in all of this. They're suffering for their faith, but they're suffering in the will of God. And God is actually using this as a plan and a purpose of Him in our lives. God has a purpose for that which is fiery trial. What is it? Notice with me this statement, which is to try you, implies three things. Number one, it implies to you and I that sufferings direct the believer. If you'll do a word study on the phrase, which is to try you, you'll find that this phrase implies a forward direction, and according even to verse 13, this direction is toward Christ. He said, which is to try you. He said in verse 13, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. And what is it? It is that the suffering we face in the refiner's fire that we're going through, and God puts us in. And Brother Danny, it is literally directing the life of the believer and drawing them closer to Christ. Can I say today that the very things that we whine and we gripe about are the very things that God is trying to use to get us closer to Him? When you amen, I wish y'all would look alive today. Amen. I know maybe this ain't shouting material, but just hang with me. At least smile like Dean is. Amen. Amen. Listen, when you gripe about how bad it hurts, really what you're saying is, God, I don't want to be closer to you. I don't care that you want me drawing closer to you. And God is saying, I'm just trying to use this, amen, to get you closer to Christ. And we'll see in a moment, you're never any more, amen, closer to the Lord than you are when you suffer. When the three Hebrew boys, Brother Ronnie, had to go into the fiery furnace, amen, they experienced something there that they didn't experience until they went through the fire, and that was the drawing near presence of God. Sufferings direct the believer. And that's why it's so, and it's a truth when we say you're either suffering now, coming out of suffering, or going into another point of suffering. Why? Because the Lord uses suffering to direct your life to get closer to Him. Number two, notice with me that sufferings not only direct the believer, but notice with me these sufferings which are to try you and me. These sufferings define the believer. This phrase, which is to try you, literally means to test or put to proof. In other words, suffering proves what kind of Christian we really are. Anybody can be faithful and show up to church when you got good health. Anybody can show up and come to church, my friend, when all the bills are paid and everybody's patting you on the back and everybody speaks good things about you. Anybody can come to church when there's no church trouble and no problems and no battles. Anybody can be a Christian when everything's good. You know what suffering does? But Jerry, suffering proves what kind of Christian you really are. I've heard people, Brother May, boast about what kind of Christian they were, and you'd buy stock in that until they began to suffer and they showed what they really were. We say, oh, the suffering, the pain, the circumstance and battle that came against them knocked them out. No, it didn't. It only proved what was in there the whole time. We all know people that used to sit and fill these pews, and I dare say if we got them all in here this morning, this church wouldn't hold them. But because of suffering, because somebody done them wrong, because of this, or because of that, and because of this circumstance or that situation, they've been driven away. My friend, listen, it ain't the fault of the circumstance. It is. And suffering defines what kind of Christian we really are. Does you no good? Gerald, does this no good to stand up and boast about how big we are in the faith, how much faith we have. Amen. Until we suffer, we cannot truly prove and define what kind of child of God we really are. Amen. How are we doing this morning? All right. Sufferings direct the believer. Sufferings define the believer. But sufferings discipline the believer. You say, what do you mean? The phrase, which is to try you, also means to scrutinize or discipline. It carries the idea that suffering in the will of God for the name of Jesus, it only makes us better. Most of the time we get bitter, do we not? Preacher, I'm just so bitter. I'd shout, but I've lost my joy. Well, guess what? God's getting ready to put you through more suffering until you get to the place where it makes you better and not bitter. You're going to suffer. See, the very thing you're bitter about is the thing that God wanted to make you better with. And until you humble down to the refiner's fire and the fiery trial, which is to try you, to discipline you, to scrutinize, amen, to make you better, to bring you forth as pure gold, you're going to keep suffering. And you're going to keep suffering. And you're going to keep suffering. Our generation, that we don't like that. That's why we've got this mentality when a child's coming up through school, they give them a test. And that youngin' don't pass the test. And what does our generation do? They just pass them on anyway. They just pass them on. Well, you didn't make good grades in the fifth grade, but we're going to move you to the sixth grade. No, if you don't pass the test, you do fifth grade over. And if you don't pass it, you do it over. That's how it was when I was coming up.
If you don't pass the test, you keep taking it over and over and over and over. You don't graduate the next grade until you pass the previous grade. Amen. By the way, I ain't for that mentality we have in our day. If you can't pass it, you can't learn it, you take it over. Come on now, give me a witness. The Christian life, God has things which are to try and to test us. Sufferings, points of suffering. And listen, some of y'all, you're suffering and you're suffering and you're suffering because you won't learn and let what God is trying to do to discipline you and teach you and make you better. And so God said, you failed it today, you're going to suffer it again tomorrow. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Y'all are hard to preach to this morning. I'm telling you, you say, but preacher, I want to exceed. I want to excel. I want to get victory over this. Listen, until you let God make what God wants to make out of your life, you're not going to pass. And you'll suffer it and suffer it and suffer it and suffer it until you learn what God wants you to learn. Amen. All right, y'all want the good stuff. The source, the purpose. But notice with me this morning, the victory over our sufferings. Peter's challenge to these Christians is to rejoice. Preacher, how do I rejoice when I'm in such a place of pain and suffering? How do I do that? I think Peter defines it to you and I. Amen. He said rejoice. He says to be happy in verse 14 in these sufferings. How is it that a believer can have this kind of victory in times of suffering? Number one, amen, if you're at notes, amen, at least get it in your heart. Amen. We have victory over our suffering through identification of Christ with you. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Amen. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying to face suffering is to share likeness with Christ. And when you suffer, He's been there where you are. He's gone down that road. He's felt that pain that you feel. And my friend, there is victory in knowing that everything I face, every pain I feel, every suffering situation, that the Lord can identify with where I am. My friend, we have not and have, priest Paul said of the Hebrews, it cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That is, you can touch me and bring me pain, but Gerald, but he's already felt it. He already knows what it is. He already knows what it's like. He identifies with where I am. In suffering, we become a partaker with Christ. Say, I want to be like Jesus. Years ago, they had that WWJD thing. Y'all remember that? WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that big movement was, we want to be like Christ. I didn't buy half of it. Somebody say amen right there. Being like Jesus ain't putting it on a t-shirt and a lapel and a bumper sticker. You say, I want to be like Jesus. I doubt most of us want to pay the cost that it's going to take to truly be like Jesus. Because you are never any more like Jesus than you are when you feel pain. Whoa. I want to be like Jesus, but I don't want to go through what I got to go through, Brother Mike, to be like Jesus. There's something on the inside. What did Isaiah say? Isaiah 53 said, "Is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Amen. Every day of his life was lived in suffering. Every day of his life was lived, my friend, with a crowd patting him on the back, only to find him, my friend, crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." In the end, he knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to face physical affliction. He knew what it was like, but Jared, to go through and have people betray him. Amen. And listen, you're never any more like Jesus than you are when you're suffering. There's victory in that because what I go through today, Dean may not know it, but Jesus does.
Tim may not know how to help me with it, but Jesus does. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I preach a minute? I'm glad today there's one. Amen. That mediator on the right hand of the throne of the Father today. He's been where I've been, walked where I walk. He knows what it is to hurt and to be in pain. And when I suffer, there is an identification of Christ with my life. I become a partaker in who He is. Through identification of Christ with you. Notice with me. That's verse 13. Look with me if you will. In verse number 14, there is victory through not only identification of Christ with you, but through the manifestation of Christ on you. The Bible said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Can I preach a minute? You know what Peter's saying? Peter's saying, I tell you how you rejoice. I tell you how you think yourself happy. I tell you how you get the spirit of victory. You understand that when you're suffering, and there's not only an identification Christ knows, but there is a manifestation of Christ, and it's going to fall upon you in the time of suffering. Amen. He said, when you're reproached and when you suffer, while in suffering, the child of God need understand that God wants the spirit of glory and of God, which is a manifest presence of Christ or the person of the Holy Ghost, rest upon you. Say, preacher, what do I do? How do I make it through the suffering? You let the Holy Ghost manifest the glory of Christ, amen, and the glory of God upon your life. So how am I going to make it? Here's what I'm saying. You ain't going to make it apart from a manifestation of Him on your life. Preacher, you just don't understand. He does. Preacher, you just don't know. He does. Amen. He identifies with it, but there is a manifestation, an outpouring of His Spirit that He desires. Amen. To rest upon your life and to be upon your life in a time of suffering. You can't make it in yourself, but you can make it through the manifestation. There's victory through letting the Holy Ghost rest upon your life. Identification of Christ with you, the manifestation of Christ on you. But notice with me, there's the glorification of Christ in you. Notice with me again in verse 13, the middle of the verse said that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The Bible said in verse number 14, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Verse 16 said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't bow down your head. Don't live with your head in a cave. Don't be ashamed of the suffering you're going through. But what did he say? He said, but let him glorify God on this behalf. How do we have victory over suffering? There's the identification of Christ with us. There's the manifestation of Christ on us. But then there's the glorification of Christ in us. You know what Peter's saying? He said, I tell you what you do. You want to make it? Quit talking about how bad it is. Quit talking about the negative. Get your mind and your attention off the negative and start glorifying the One that is above all. But Scotty, it does us no good. I'll be honest. There's times I get the mully grubs and a pity party. And I get it, amen, I can have the biggest pity party all by myself, probably bigger than anybody in this place can have. Brother William, I get feeling sorry for me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. And I go down the old tackle store and buy me a little thing of earthworms and sit down and just eat. Anybody else like that? You know what Peter's saying? Peter's saying, stop it. Stop that. Stop living that way. Quit focusing in on how bad it is and begin to glorify the God that's getting you through. Amen. Hey, man, there's too many Christians that are blowing out of church. They're quitting on God. And my friend, they're leaving places they ought not to leave because of time of suffering. They forget that God is still to be glorified. Don't be ashamed. Don't walk around with your head down. Oh, life's so hard. Don't live like that. Don't live like that. Get your eyes off of this and get your eyes up there and give God the glory He deserves even when you're suffering. Can I remind you, He's as deserving of glory and being praised in the bad times as He is the good times. Amen. Old Peg McKamey sang years ago, and the God of the valleys, amen, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. And God, when the sun is as shining, is still as much God when the storm winds blow. And my friend Peter said, quit living life focused in on the suffering. And glorify the Savior. So you just don't know you're a pastor. Listen, I probably know more than any of you do. Amen. I've had to, amen, and I'm not anywhere where I need to be. But Kathy, the times people have done me wrong, betrayed me, and not lived the way they should, and stabbed you in the back. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of preachers get bitter. The older they get, the more bitter they get, and that's all every time they preach. Amen. They talk about the hurt and the betrayals and the suffering and the church splits and the people that's left off. And I don't want to live life that way. I don't want to have a ministry like that. Amen. But yeah, I want to focus in. Amen. On giving God all the glory that He deserves. Amen. Whether it's a pastor, a church member, whether it's an evangelist or a missionary, whether you've been saved 5 days or you've been saved 55 years, you got to get to the place where you realize it's not about the goriness that's around you, but it's about the glory of God. Anybody getting help today? Through the glorification of Christ in you. He said, I know I'm getting a little long, but he said there in verse number 13, that my friend, that glory which shall be revealed. Amen. That when it's revealed, when's that going to happen? Amen. When He comes in the air. The glory, the skies are going to open and the glory of God is going to be made manifest. Now listen, what did Peter say? He said, when that day comes, he said, I want you on that day to still have joy in your heart. Amen. Is that what he said? I think I'm right on it. Y'all quit looking at me like that. He said, rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'm so sick of hearing this. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to kick up gold dust. I'm going to have me a spell. I'm going to shout the victory. You old sourpuss, you don't do it here, you ain't going to do it there. Amen. Well, and I get to heaven and everything's done and I ain't a suffering, I'm going to run down a street of gold. No, you won't. Amen. According to that verse, Peter said, the joy you have in this life is going to determine the joy you have when His glory's revealed. Amen. Amen. Bunch of backslid, won't worship, won't praise God, won't glorify, won't raise your hand, won't get excited. I can bring my little old pet gnat in here, let him eat a whole bale of hay on the communion table, and they ain't fazed one bit. Oh, but when they get to glory, they going to have a fit. I don't believe it. But Mike, I just don't believe it. Amen. There's going to be something called the judgment seat. We got to go back. Amen. And Peter said, I want you to have joy in your heart. I want you living in victory when the glory appears, when His glory appears. I want you, even though you're suffering, I want you to be able to do so with the spirit of victory on your life.
The glory. We talk about the glory. Hey, the glory that's going to be revealed. There's a measure of that glory available to you and I today.
Amen.
The glorification of Christ in you. And then watch this. Boy, this is good. Verse number 19. Peter talks about, let him that suffers in accordance to the will of God. Notice with me, there's the realization of Christ for you. You say, what do you mean? Notice what he said. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Now this is important. Will y'all hang with me? Give me no more than 5 more minutes. But Jerry, he said, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now look on up in the house right here. What did Peter say I am to commit to him? Can I let you in on a little something? Brother Chris, here's why we don't get victory over suffering. Pastor preach a message like this, we'll get a little emotional stir and we'll run to the altar. And we'll get down on the altar and we'll say, okay, Lord, here's my suffering. I'm going to commit my suffering to you. I'm going to commit my suffering to you. It ain't what Peter said you was to commit to him. God, and it'll be a good day in your life if you realize it this morning. God don't want your suffering. He wants your soul. What we do, Charlie, Brother Charlie, we come down here and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you my suffering. I'm going to give you my suffering. I'm going to give you my suffering. I'm going to give you the situation and the circumstance. And we get up and we go, all right, it's all going to be better now. And you get in your car and you drive however far it is home and you open your door and your suffering's staring you right in the face again. The stack of bills is still piled up. The body still hurts. The cancer's still there. The headaches are still there. The pain is still in your body. Family trouble is still around. Why? Because we're so busy trying to give Him our suffering. And He said, don't commit your suffering to me. Commit your soul to my safekeeping. I wish I had it to preach right now. If we'd ever get the place, we say, Lord, I'm not expecting you to change anything. All I'm interested in is you keeping me safe as my faithful Creator, you keeping me safe through everything I'm going through. Quit trying to change it and commit your soul. Quit trying to give Him your suffering. Give Him your soul. Give Him everything you are and say, Lord, as Job did of old, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him at this very point of pain and suffering. If it takes my life, I'll still live for Him and trust Him with all my soul.
Amen.
You give Him your suffering all day long, but you're still going to live in it. You walk out them doors, you're still going to live in it. And if it ain't the thing you laid on the altar, it's going to be something brand new tomorrow.
Yes.
How do you get victory over suffering? Identification of Christ with you. He knows where you are.
Yes.
Amen. The manifestation of Christ on you. Let Him and His Spirit abide on you and assist you and cause rest in your life in the suffering. Then the glorification of Christ in you. Let him be glorified. Glorify Him through all the pain. You praise Him in the pleasure. Praise Him in the pain. In the realization that Christ is for you today. And He'll take your soul. He'll take everything you are. He'll take your family. He'll take your life. And He will keep you absolutely secured and safe as He is the faithful Creator. You won't be destroyed. You won't be wiped out. You can make it. There is victory over suffering. Would you get help today?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if it's y'all or me. It's just a little different in here this morning. It's fine. It's fine so long as we get help. Is that right?
Amen.
We're fine as long as we get help, and the Lord's tried to help us today. Would you mind the Lord? Let's all stand. Father, please help us today. Lord, we're preaching on the matter of suffering. Lord, we all know what that's like. Lord, we all know what it is to hurt. Lord, to have hardship and pain. Father, today I pray we'd all leave here this morning knowing something about victory over it. Help us, Lord, I pray this morning. Lord, not to just focus on the battle and the burdens, but Lord, to let you have all that we are, put it into your keeping. You are faithful. You are our Creator. You're in charge and you're in control. Father, have your will and way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Got folk coming to pray, minding the Lord. If you need to come today, that's it. There's more coming. Mind the Lord. Mind the Lord. Let Him help you. All to Jesus, I surrender. Be a good place for us today. How much victory you got today?